HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The third one is Shlilos HaGashmas Mimenu, the non-corporeality of God, that God is not something physical. V'zeh, she'namin ke'echad hazeh she'zachayinu. We have to remember that this one being, Eino Guf, is nothing physical. V'lo koach baguf. In other words, it's not any type of it's not any type of power or force that you can associate within a guf. For instance, a person moves. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not movement either. There's any type of thing that can be expressed within a guf is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu either. V'lo yasigu moros hagufim, and nothing that describes anything physical could describe Hashem. Kimo, hatnua v'amenucha v'amishkan. So any term that requires a physical element for it to mean anything, movement, rest, dwelling, lo mitzad atzvus, lo mitzad mikra. We can't say this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and we can't ever associate it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't say God happened to sit or whatever.
Isn't this a natural extension of the second Yisod?
So the Rambam believes so. We'll see how the Rambam goes about proving this. Let's go slowly Let's finish this piece and then we'll try to work out where and so on. V'lochein sholu menu chacham zal hachibu v'apirut. That's why HaKadosh Baruch, that's why the Chazal said that the word linked or unlinked can't be said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he has an interesting pshat in a Chazal, which is commonly differently understood, but Ein lemaila lo yeshiv l'amida, there's no sitting, no standing, v'lo oref, and not a backside, v'lo ipui, which usually is translated as being tired, like ayefus. Kloma, lo pirud v'u oref. Oref means when you turn away from something, when you turn your back to something, basically you've disengaged. So the concept of disengaging doesn't apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo chibu v'u ipui meloshim v'ofu b'kosev plishtim. Kloma, yitchvo otom b'kosev. So it's an engagement of sort. Lischavim b'ho. Now, that's the description. Where do we know this to be true? And this is a loaded question for two reasons. First of all, is there a makor? Do you need a makor? Is it logically impossible? One. Two, there are many places in the Torah that seem not like that. Those are two issues. We have to deal with each one separately. He says, lo pirut, the concept of disengagement, v'hu oref, that's meant by the word oref, v'lo chibur, and not engagement, v'hu ipui, v'loshim v'av kasev plishim, klom yit v'atzim kasev, l'schavrim b'hem, that they would push him with the shoulders to engage them. V'ama navi, the navi said, v'l mi t'dam yun keil, you can't, you cannot compare a HaKadosh Baruch Hu to anything. V'l mi t'dam yuni, ve'eshve, who can you compare me to that I'm equivalent? Yoma Kadosh. Ve'ilo hayaguf, if there was anything in God that had a common denominator with anything in the world, then we can compare him. He's taller, he's shorter, he's harder, he's softer. I mean, and as long as you have a common denominator, then comparison works. So the fact that he says you cannot compare him to anything means he's not a guf. That's his primary right over here. And anything, now the real problem is, Tanakh is full of descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being physical. So he says, it is all just a metaphor. Chacham spoke this a lot. Vayisoda shlisha zemoro lo mashenema. He says, not a raya, but an indication that it's right. It says in the pasuk, kiloi reisam kol tmuna, kloma lo isaktem zabal tmuna. You haven't at all seen any picture. Lefikur shazachana ena guf lekoach beguf. Now, in terms of where do we know it from? In terms of a raya, The last pasuk seems to be the most powerful raya. The pasuk, it's not just a pasuk. The whole parasha of Eschanan is, be careful. You're going to start doing things wrong. You're going to start being over Avodah Zarah. And be careful, because on the day of Har Sinai, you came closest to seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was no picture, there was no image, there was nothing, so on and so forth. There's nothing more clear than that parasha in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu not being Baal Guf. A corollary to that is, what's so terrible about Avodah Zarah? In other words, what distinguishes Avodah Zarah? What's the difference if we believe a guf is God or God is a guf? It's the same thing. In other words, if a person says this piece of wood is Hashem, then we say that's terrible. It's the worst avera, and it's the stupidest thing. Well, so isn't Avodah Zarah defined by casting some sort of image of God? How could you believe in a guf and find a meaningful way to distinguish that and Avodah Zarah?
Isn't the issue here its boundary?
Himself.
Right.
So I guess you can sort of surmise the problem, and this is what the Rambam sort of, the Rambam's approach is, like you mentioned before. Let's take a look at the Rambam in Mishnah Torah. He goes with a different direction. Look at Zion. Over there he says, how do we know God is one? He says, well, it's very simple. If there would be many gods, he says, Elohoya lohus harbe hoya gufenu gvios. If there were many gods, they would have to be bodies, because the only way we can distinguish two things is by imposing some sort of gvul. And he says, and since God has no gvul, he has no guf, and therefore there can only be one. And so the Rambam over there sees the understanding that Hashem is not a guf as being more fundamental belief, and achdus coming from that. Now, let's take a look at Ches. Let's read the seed from Ches inside Nambus. Harei mefurish b'Torah or b'Navi, she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu guf v'gviya. In the Torah Navi, it says mefurish, she'nema. Now, so he has a different series of proofs. Ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim imal v'alaretz mitochas v'aguf li'ev Hashem mekomos. So I think this is what you were alluding to. In other words, the pasuk describes Hashem as being boundless. When we say Hashem is a shamayim v'alaretz mitochas, means he's all over the place. It says a guf must be bounded. A guf cannot be in two places, because places, it's defined within the context of place. That's one. V'nema ki l'ra'isem kol tmuna. That's the pasuk from over there. So here the order is a bit reversed. I think the reason why in the Pirush Mishnayos he brings El Mita Dam Yuni first, I think he means to say not only is he not a body, but there's no way to even describe him in terms of a body. He's not anything that we know exists. But I can't even use an illustration from this world and say, well, you know what XYZ is. This is similar in any way. So now, this issue over here, this emuna is an emuna pshuta. It's something that everyone should, you know, I mean, I really have a problem how you would understand Avodah Zarah, if you do believe that it's possible Hashem has a guf, and to say this is this Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah, it's very, very difficult. The Rambam...
They have multiple gods, that's how they're able to do it. They didn't have a unitary god.
But yeah, they have, right. I say, but understanding our picture of a god the way we understand it, we have a real hard time with it.
Christianity is a bigger show.
Christianity, the truth is, went both directions. They also gave him some corporal elements, and they also made many. I think we spoke about last time, we spoke about how we look at the Shituf and so on. But so Christianity did it, it's a package deal. They needed another god, and they gave him a guf. It was a matching set. It's certainly a very consistent religion. You know, if there's three of them, you must have a guf. So that's the... But the Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuva that one of the types, he describes different madrigas of kofra, minim, and so on. He describes that someone who doesn't believe, who believes that Kadosh Baruch Hu is physical, is a kofra. The Ravid asks, the Ravid says, Gdolim v'chachomim mimenu made the mistake, they were misled by Chazal and Psukim. So, what?
Anthropomorphism.
So the Ravid asks it, and so the Ravid says that he's not an apikoros because he was misled. The famous Reb Chaim says on it, Reb Chaim Brisk is quoted very famously, he said, the Rambam holds that Nebuch apikoros is also an apikoros. Even if he misled, he's still an apikoros. Very famous variant from Reb Chaim. But I want to focus a minute on the Ravid. So the Machlokas itself, is certainly the Ravid doesn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a goof. It just says you can't call the person apikoros if he learns through psukim and so on. That seem to be indicate like that. But the question is, who does the Ravid mean when he said Gdolim v'tovim? Who's he referring to? I mean, even if he had many machlokas with the Rambam, but the Rambam, I mean, he didn't hold light of the Rambam. He says there are people bigger than the Rambam that made that mistake. The question is, and it's become very popular with Zman HaZeh, when everybody tries to dig up everything there ever was, to quote Rav Avraham Farbstein once said, Rav Avraham Farbstein was the Yeshiva of Chevron, tremendous Talmud Chacham. And when they came out with the what they call in the Yeshivish jargon, the Jolly Green Giant, those green oitzim of Farshat Talmud, so they wrote very lavishly that sperm that for thousands of years have been gathering dust and were unknown, we've included everything here. Also, Farshat Talmud has like all the kashas tirutzim from all the sfarim put together it just be very popular. I'm sure you all seen it on different masechtas. Mechon Shlaim put it out. So Ron Farbstein made a very caustic remark about it, and he said, Klai Yisrael, the body of people learning Torah have an intuition. There's a reason why Rikibega's kashas are always there, and some other sfarim gather dust. Klai Yisrael sort of over the years, so it's like wine that was settling. He says, and now somebody comes along and stirs the whole thing together, and he wants credit for it that he took the refined, the jewel of the jewel together with the slag, mixed it together, made it shalom, and he wants credit for it. That was the way he said it.
Guess he
didn't buy
it.
What? In my days, after this, like a Pirei Talmudis, this was the next one that everybody said there'll be Amaratzim if you learn it. And so, nobody, but the truth is, you don't learn it. You look up something. It's a very good index. That's all it is. It's an index, nothing more. And so a lot of times, you just know somebody has to catch it. It's good enough, and the tarots can wait. But at any rate, so the question. So people like to dig up these things, and it's a big issue. Can it have been? There does seem to have been. So like this, the Rambam himself, in Igeres Tres HaMesim, where he writes about Tres HaMesim and so on, but he mentions that he's met Chasheva Talmidei Chachamim who know how to learn and believe God is corporal. That's what the Rambam himself writes. There is a sefer they've dug up called Ksav Tamim, by somebody who was a Baal Tosa. I don't know, Baal Tosa is one of the Baal Tosas. It one of the people who lived in that era. I think it's the name of Moshe Taku, if I'm not mistaken. Ksav Tamim is available. You can, on a good Otsa Chochma type site, they'll have it. You don't have to pay a few thousand dollars to get on the black market. It's in some sort of digital file. It's there.
And
it's that type of stuff. Yeah, it's your eyes. Those. So he does say things along the line that Hashem could appear in the image of this. So he you can say it, but it's a very, very fine things that today really, really. It's like I would compare it to, if somebody like the Mishnah said, if you pass like Beit Shammai today, Yechayev Misa, as great as the time was, it's something that today is out of the pale of what we would consider a maimon. I mean, a person who believes that and touches the wine, I think the wine is, despite the fact that whoever said it, said it. I mean, so that's one. I think they dug up somebody else also. The vast body, but the Rambam himself says, I've met people. The Rambam writes a Mor Nevuchim. People don't know why he called it Mor Nevuchim. They think it's about all sorts of abstract, abstruse philosophical questions. He writes it to a Talmud, or so-called Talmud. I don't know if it's a real person or he's presented. He says that you've learned a lot of things, and you learned this and that, and you're very accomplished, and you're bothered, you're being misled by psukim that seem to imply things that are, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chas V'Shalom Mekushim, and therefore I've written Mor Nevuchim to help explain to you all these psukim and so forth. The first third of the Rambam Mor Nevuchim is spent defining terms like that. So the Rambam writes, the reason he says it, the ideas that I'm presenting now, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a goof, notwithstanding what psukim mean, is something that every man, woman, and child in class is meant to believe. It's something that you have to hammer in to everyone, because this is the most ikar of emunah. That's the way he writes it very strongly, Mor Nevuchim, again, again. It's a very big point. So there did seem to be people, were there many, it seemed there were many hamon am, that's correct also. People who were ignorant and really didn't know better, and they kept using these terms and thinking it meant kipshuto. But Ech Shelo Yia, it was something which is interesting to note. Was it ever not pashut? People today have tried to say that Chazal, Chas V'Shalom, believe that because they use all these terms. It's strange. The Psukim use the terms. I've looked through some of that stuff. I mean, nothing. There's nothing in the Chazal. But the two places, Rav Moshe Taku is, and there's somebody else, some other obscure sefer, which seem to indicate the same thing. I mean, basically, they say God is a much more refined type of, like, non-gashmistic type of material. I don't know. I don't know, but it's there.
Look, there was a period of time where many, many people believed in Greek mythology and all these different forces were abiding
people. I tell you, if you're coming off from nowhere, it's fine. But if you're coming off from Torah and Larisim Tumuna and Avodah Zorah is the big no-no, it's hard. You know, it's hard to know in the context of Yiddishkeit how people got to it. But I can put it, that is there.
Yeah. Doesn't Mark Shapiro catalog a number of people? If it, Ezra, I seem to recall others where he talks about it.
You know, the vast majority of the stuff that's catalogued is, it depends how you look at it. In other words, a lot of it is extremely, extremely ambiguous. And just like you're learning the psukim don't mean that, and Chazal don't mean that, you know, the only ones that say it black and white are those firm. No one else says it. If you look at Ibn Ezra in different places where he describes the idea that our perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within us, so to speak. In other words, it's like two people looking at something, one person says this, one person says this, because it's really us and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says it many times like that. Very hard to fit in that those other things with it. When people write, they need to say a chiddush. And the most sensational is, but I'm serious, just like people accuse people on the right wing of hiding things and so on and so forth, I don't think that Tzidkis was completely given up onto the left wing. I think that they have their share of people that...
They think so.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, yes, there have been things done, the same Shemaim on one side, but the other side is and a lot of the stuff there. I mean, the big thing is to find in Chassidus and Kabbalah that was the big thing, and we'll speak about it at some point. It is important, because Kabbalah uses tons of metaphors. It's all built on metaphors. So it's very simple to say that they believed in it and did Kipshuto and that's and that. But if you look at this firm and the volume of warnings written in it against it, you really have to be... I want to tell you, by the way, just on a side, speaking about the Tzidkis is not all for the right wing, left wing also. There was I wouldn't have believed the story if I wasn't the person involved. someone is doing Kiruv work on the campus, University of Maryland. And he asked me, he said, there's a very intelligent boy who's studying there and he's taking Bible and he had some problems and kashas, and he would like to discuss it. So I said, okay, if I can help, I'll try. And a very nice boy comes in, he's from somewhere in New Jersey, he came there. He comes from like sort of some semi-conservative background of some sort. And he wanted a shtark in his Yiddishkeit, so he took Bible class at the University of Maryland. I mean, what else, you know, what bigger chizuk can you get for Yiddishkeit? And the lady is an Israeli lady professor, a big mumcha Bible, and she teaches it. And he said it troubled him because the more he studied, it shtered his emunah instead of helping his emunah. I couldn't believe, you know, New Jersey has such a mean stick of people, but, you know, he was there. So he tells me, okay, she asked, she said that the early Jews believed in Avodah Zarah. He said, for instance, it says, Nasa Adam B'tzalmen K'mesenu, we shall make man. So who's the we? Obviously, they believe in Avodah Zarah. So my jaw dropped, and I said, and that's all she said? And she said, she said that the editors missed that one, and they didn't expunge it, and it's out. It's there. I said, I don't have a problem if she would have mentioned, if she'd mentioned Rashi and the Chazal and disagree with it. Did she mention Rashi? I said, she mentioned absolutely nothing. I said, this kash is like 2,000 years old, kind of. either she's extraordinarily ignorant or extremely deceptive. And I told him, Chazal say, then he should point out another ink. I said, besides which, I said, you have to be very sloppy editor that in the first chapter you miss out. I mean, if somebody was sitting there erasing all mention about Azura, I mean, the second kasha, he said that Eliezer, when he set over the story, he reversed the order. Instead of giving her the rings first, then he asked Masmiat, he said, I said, Masmiat. Why? You know, so he said, look at that inconsistent. So I picked up almost to Rashi. Rashi says, you know, he felt that his story would they would think it's very, very strange, suspicious, like, how come you give us that? And he was like amazed. I said, you know, I must tell you, she is either so ignorant that the most classical and far she didn't bother to look at in the Chazal, or she's simply pulling the wool over your eyes. But just my muscle. So all such people brings. The only things that are real are those two. All the other stuff is, once you make an assumption that it was widespread and people believed it and everybody believed it, so you can stuff in the Chazal. But okay, Tess. So Rami asked the question. Im Kain.
Mao's. And the point is that anybody who holds the other way, even though there are earlier people who say that, they're out.
The
mainstream is settled. Is basically the
yes, it settled big time. In other words, now the truth was. It seemed that they held the Rambam in contempt for what he held. They felt that the Rambam was allegorizing things in the Torah that are emes. The way that Pliny was considered to be off the derech because he was kind of taking stories and making allegories out of it. They felt that that was part of their sharp. Tainus criticism of the Rambam.
Hagam the Ravid hold the other way.
Yeah, the Ravid and the Rambam both hold the same, except the Ravid holds that you can't call them epicurism. The Ravid says, listen,
it's an acceptable position.
It's not an acceptable position, it's an excusable position. Uh-huh. A very important difference. Not acceptable, it's excusable. Imkein, Mauze Shenema Betoret Asraglav, Ksum Metzvel Kim, Yad Hashem, Ein Hashem, Ozen Yitzit Vamel. It's people only recognize a guf, and so on. And he brings Raya, says, Moshe says, one pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was wearing this type of clothing, another place this type of clothing. Moshe Rabbeinu saw him in different demusim, and so on and so forth. And therefore, it's written for people to, in Lashmi Adam. Let's talk about this. This Lashem Ne'adam has many variations in it, and I think it's important to understand it. So the Rambam holds these are simply metaphors. We need to explain that a person did something wrong. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu raged with his fury. We need to say that the person did something good, so we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiled on you. That's Lashem Ne'adam, just simply people, giving over.
In order to accomplish Mahu Afatah?
The Rambam later uses Mahuafata. The Rambam says it in Deis that that's why. Simply because we have no way of telling a story. Other than, I have to be able to say something. I have to say you've done something wrong. The sharp way of saying it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fury raged at you, and so on. It's the way we would translate different abstract ideas into something real. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim says a reason why. He says a sharper reason why. He says, if the Torah was written in the language of philosophy, then Gehenim wouldn't be so terrible. If Gehenim is some sort of philosophical thing because there's no real fire there, so even though it's extraordinarily painful, but we would kind of say, you know what? It's spiritual. You know, the taivas are real. This is spiritual. You know, the Rambam says we wouldn't get the idea. Rambam says it's written with language that is sharp because that's what impresses a person. We're trying to tell people there's a real, you know, there's this real schar, there's real onesh, and it's terrible and it's great and so on and so forth. That's the Rambam Shita. And no one argues that it's an acceptable answer. The problem with it is, first of all, there are a lot of metaphors that we don't have any translation for. It says, Lamashal, say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an ish mocham and he has a sword. Those are metaphors that we can easily translate. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Daniel saw him sitting on a chair and his hair was snow white. What does that convey to us? What are we interpreting from that? So the Rambam Shita is, and he says it in the Mor Nevuchim when he explains different nevuahs, that there is stuff added just to round out the picture. In other words, if you say that Akadosh Baruch Hu did this, you need to round out a picture of it, and not every detail needs to have a nimshal. That's what the Rambam holds. And again, in the world of pshat, it is an acceptable pshat. It's not unacceptable. The pasuk is telling you the main thing, and there's some color there. Just so the story is a story. Someone once told me there was an Gadol Mnei Brak who passed away, and he was sort of anti the yeshivish over what he felt was overkill on the yukim and stuff. And someone came with a diuk in the Rambam, and he said, "My dear young man, if the Rambam would write it the way you insist he should write it, it would look like a grocery list, not like a sefer." When you write a sefer, you add some corners. You don't leave sharp edges and say, "Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5." That was there's some element of it. That's what the Rambam Shita is about. The antithesis of the Shita was the Shita of the Bali Kabbalah, and Kabbalah is built on the yisod that there are many, many hanhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the other way around. The terminology there, let's say it the way the Shalach HaKadosh says it, very famous. He says, it's not that we call Yad Hashem because we struggle to find a word to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing something, and we use a metaphor. Yad Hashem is real, and the way Yad Hashem expresses itself in this world is a human hand. There are many other ways to do a yad. Gravity could be seen as a yad. It's a more abstract form of grabbing. So the Kabbalah was built around the following idea, kind of. We start with it's like a math teacher. It's like there's a physicist who uses a formula, he's dealing with physical phenomena and uses a formula to describe the relationship, to a mathematician who comes up with really nice formula and then looks around trying to find something that, how the formula expresses itself. And many times it's been right. I mean, there's somebody, a Frum professor, Yerushalayim, I think his name is Mark Steiner, if I'm not mistaken, who's made it like this is his part. He's written it a lot. There's somebody named Wigner who was earlier quotes him a lot. The extraordinary idea that math, long before, it's not the math that you describe a different phenomena with. But when you have formulas that are neat on a piece of paper, some point later you find how it works. You find that it actually is reflected somewhere in the world. And what?
Befall.
You find, I mean, things like pi that crop up all the place, all over, and the Fibonacci numbers, they crop up in places, tons of places where you get this relationship for seemingly no real reason. Doesn't seem to be any reason why it should be cropping up again and again. You know, the famous E and the what, you know, the standard stuff crops up in so many places that you don't expect it. So it's almost as if they convey the following idea. The world was built as an abstraction first, and then things were taken to be used as it's. So it's almost the opposite. There's an Haggadah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our world is one example of how these things can be expressed.
That's devolution, isn't it?
What?
It's basically the essence of devolution. You have this machshava type of
thing. Yes, and it comes down. Correct. And our world, it's like a math teacher who wants to take a math problem and write it out as a real problem, picks. Somebody has to mix, I don't know, candies, two types of candies, and one weighs this, one weighs that. She started with the formula she wanted the kid, with the methodology she wanted the kid to use, and fleshed out with one particular mashal. So that was kind of a mahalach that was very different than the Rambam's. There's another mahalach, and this is, I photocopied Maral, a piece there that I wanted to, we don't have much time, we have 5 minutes, but I wanted to go through just his point, because his point is it's an important point in answering a lot of issues with science and Torah also. It's in Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Lamed Gimel. He deals with Vayered Hashem Har Sinai, and he says, the Rambam says, Ki Ayrida Vabia Shednemetz Hashem Yisborach is a problem with Gashmis, and that's why the Unkelus always translates it differently. True, the Unkelus always translates all sorts of Leshonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He always moves it to the Kvod Hashem, this Hashem, so on. Ramban Zalpash Vayigash Heshevalov, Ramban argues with him. It's a whole, I don't want to go into that. It's sort of not the point. Ve'im, Shatora Divra Lashem, Bnei Adam, Gam Divra Lasabes Oizin, He's got a real problem. He says, it doesn't make sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, looking for some sort of literary device, is going to give us words that are mamish misleading. It's not just a mikra, like, okay, we might make a mistake. I mean, it's mislabeling in the worst way possible. So he says as follows, Rak. Ki kol advarim elu eina mevim gashmis. Ki mashama kosa ve'ira shemala sinai ukiyotze bezeim noram klapi odom. It's all focuses on man. Ki kach nimtza shemes parza odom she yored menashmael har sinai. Ve'kim she kachu etzel ha'odom af ki ba'mitas atzen adove kein kach rak she kach nimtza za odom. Yemalov ki mashu nimtza la odom. Let's explain this, because this is a very important point, and it's a point that the Maral uses and so on. Let's take an example. Let's take something like a pair of eyeglasses. You know, eye doctor here? A pair of eyeglasses. What is a pair of eyeglasses? For one person, it's a way to be able to read something that he couldn't read without it. For another person, it's a way to look in a certain way. And it's all about what it does to your face. The person who is in the world of designing of glasses, the lenses are just a chetimtza, and it's all about it. You know, your face is the most invisible part of yourself, and a pair of glasses makes a big difference in what you look like. For a doctor, the lenses, they are the device that you see better, and the frame is, you could have two pieces of wood holding it up, and it's fine. And which is right? It there's no answer to that. A good pair of glasses means two different things, rightfully so. For a person with poor vision, good pair of glasses means it's corrected rightly. For somebody who's got presentation issues or whatever it is, a good pair of glasses means something that makes you look young, old, smart, stupid, whatever it is that you want to look, and that's that. So those are two different star frameworks, and both are correct as long as you you're staying with that world, that frame of reference. What in what frame of reference was the Torah written? In other words, the Torah is written how? So he says, the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took everything in the world and he asked Adam to name it. That's what he says, Vayita. I just don't have time to read it. What does that mean, he asked man to name everything? And he said, whatever his name he gave it, that's the name would be. It means the point of reference. For us, a horse is something that you ride on. For a lion, a horse is supper. Now, so is horses supper, or are they vehicles? It depends where you're looking from. What point of reference you're going from? Rav Abba Berman, I once heard, told somebody. He said, it's a stutter, but from your perspective, you're right, but your perspective is wrong. The way of looking. What stands at the center of the universe of the Torah? It's like, what does the night sky look like? It depends if you're standing on the northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, east or west. It depends. So the Maral says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought everything to man today means the center of the universe is man, not Hashem. So if to me, Hashem first was out of my reach and now he's within my reach, then the right way to say it is Hashem came down. It came down because, to me, before it was beyond, and now it's within my reach. So the entire—I think this is also very true about the halacha and the physical / scientific issues. Do kinim, are kinim, for instance, reproduce by themselves, or zachan akeva, or in our yes, if we were to stoop down, take kinim, look at them with a magnifying glass. And so on, we would see a lifestyle similar to other insects. But as far as we're concerned, from our attitude, whenever you don't take a shower a few days, there's kinim. You know, I mean, there used to be. it's a very different. For us, the bria of kinim is something that comes along with dirt. That's where it comes from. Yes, there's a mechanism that happens to work how it works. But the perspective, Torah starts with man at the center of its universe. And that's why Vayera Hashem is a correct description. Klapi man, that's what happened. So it's like up and down. What's up, what's down in the universe? It depends. Simply, you need to first speak of it. And that's what the Maral learns. So Maral is a very keen distinction. It's not going like the Mekubalim. It's not pursuing that view, and it's not the Rambam. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's view is right and he just needed words for us, because that would be almost using misleading words. From man's point of view, Vayered Hashem is literal, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu was beyond our reach, now is in our reach. For us, that's called going down. It's like if somebody's in a spaceship and you simulate gravity to give them a sense of direction. For me, anything that goes from away to closer is called it went down. It flowed towards me. Okay, we'll hold it here. We'll see more Metz Hashem next time. But these are, it's a very, very important Yisadis of Munah.
You can take shit for the shame of someone. I'm not going to use the shit. No, I finished.